This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com.
John Garfield in Blood on the Sun. Every week, Squibb brings you Hollywood's finest. The great picture plays, the great actors and actresses, techniques and skills chosen from the honor roll of those who have won or been nominated for the famous Golden Oscar of the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences. For generations, the House of Squibb has been known for the high quality and unfailing dependability of its products, each the result of a never-ending quest for perfection. Today, the great family of Squibb products reflects the tremendous advance of science in its contribution to human health and well-being. The name Squibb stands for progress through research. Squibb is a name you can trust. Tonight, we bring you the thrilling picture, Blood on the Sun, which won two of the 1945 Academy Awards. As our star, you will hear John Garfield, who, as Best Supporting Actor of the Year, was nominated for the 1938 Academy Award.
My name is Nick Condon. I ran a newspaper for about 2 years in Japan. I left a short time before the So Sorry boys decided they were in grave danger of attack by the dangerous Chinese and saved themselves from such a horrible fate by going in and slaughtering a few defenseless millions of men, women, and children. This is a story of why I left, how I left, and how I fought my fight against the sons of heaven before the thing really got popular.
There he is. Old Nick. Hiya, boy. Hey, they tell me you printed a little item in the rag. It'll probably land in a local pokey.
Oh, hello. Ollie, skip me. I knew what I was doing. Those little brown rats are cooking up a war.
Yeah, they sure are, pal, but you just don't say so. Here. I always pay my debts.
Well, where did you get that dough? Ollie Miller hasn't had a buck since he's been out here.
I came into it. Edith and I are sailing tonight on the Nagata Maru, first class.
Well, where'd you get the money?
Nicky, take a tip from me, will you? Come on back to the States. This place is getting hotter than the inside of Fujiyama. There was blood on the streets this morning.
So you're tied into something shady, huh? I ought to suck you.
Me? Ollie Miller? Don't be silly. Come on down tonight, will you? 11 o'clock, cabin 23, A deck. Fill you full of champagne and tell you how much I love you. Man's best friend. you dog.
Ollie, okay, I'll be there. But I sure don't get this. No part of it.
Just a moment, please, Mr. Condon.
Oh, hello, Shima. Still tailing me?
You are going to America?
Nope. Just going aboard the Nagata Maru here to say goodbye to some friends. See you boys later.
Oh, stop, please.
Hey, what is this?
I am Fort Kuno. control officer. Please answer a question.
Sure, but this hits a new low in stupidity, even for the Imperial Police. Now, I'd like to see Mr. Miller's stateroom, 23. Any objections?
Sorry, it is not permitted tonight.
Mr. and Mrs. Miller have not arrived.
I'll wait on deck.
Stop that man!
I can't. These passengers are in the way.
You fool! The police will deal with you. Follow him!
Three passengers loaded with luggage came up the gangway. I got them between me and the Jap police. Then I tore up the deck of the boat. Suddenly, I felt myself tightening inside. Something was wrong. But very wrong. I got the cabin 23. I was about to knock. I thought better of it. I turned the knob. Something was wrong, all right. The room was a shambles. Edith Miller lay dead on the bed, her throat turning black. Flowers and champagne were all over the place. And blood. I ran for the door leading to the adjoining cabin. I opened the door just in time to see the figure of a woman trying to slip out. I got there in time to grab her arm. On the finger of her hand was a beautiful ruby. Then something hit my hand, and I had to let go. I raced down the gangway. She was getting into a big car, but the thought police got in my way.
So sorry. Regrettable, you refuse to believe police.
Get out of my way, you
dirty... No, you know truth has been told. You suffer yourself. Friends have not yet arrived.
Is that so? Why, you grinning ape, you... the American Embassy. It was late. A voice answered the phone.
Hello. Yes, this is the American Embassy. Oh, no, sorry. The ambassador is not in. Away for the weekend. Please call tomorrow for an appointment.
I went back to my apartment, and as I opened the door, I saw a lurching shadow. It was a man, and as I watched, he crashed through the glass and fell headlong into my living room. Ollie Miller.
I'd known they were going to get this tough about it. I'd have asked for more money. Oh, here, inside pocket. That's it. Take it, Nick. It's the Tanaka plan. Plan of invasion. Glad Edith got away. Tell her I'm sorry.
Ollie. Ollie. No use. He's dead. Police trailing Ollie. The plan. I've got to hide it. Two pictures on the wall. President Hoover and Hirohito. That's the place. They'll never touch the picture of the emperor behind that picture.
Good morning, Condon-san. Very regrettable you had to spend night in jail.
Yeah? Where's the phone? You're going to have to do some explaining, Oshima. My government doesn't like its nationals tossed into the jug without any charges.
Japanese government would not do that to American, Condon-san. I will read the chart here. Nicholas Condon, much esteemed editor of Tokyo Chronicle, found with two girls in his house. After drinking much wine and disturbing neighbors, Condon tries to overcome police, but friendly police prevail and put him to bed in local jail to protect him. So sorry, Condon-san.
Stow it. You murdered two Americans last night, on the Nagamaru and the one in my house.
Very serious charges. Result of too much wine drinking.
Why, you
please,
dirty...
do not resume disturbance. Understand you are judo artist, Condon-san. Perhaps you honor me with the contest someday.
Sure, sure. Maybe next time we can take honorable coats off and settle a few things with honorable judo.
Nick, for heaven's sake, what's this all about? I've been trying to run the paper for you, but everybody's got the jitters, wondering what's happened to you.
Skip it, Sprague. I haven't got time to fill you in.
Okay. Now, what are you doing?
Sprague, that Tanaka plan is gone from behind the Emperor's picture.
Yeah? And why are you going over to Tanaka's house?
He sent for me, but you're going to Tanaka's house. You tell him where I'll be and... Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute! The police didn't find that document.
Oh, they must have.
If they did, Tanaka wouldn't want to see me.
Well, then how about the people who paid Ollie to get out of the country?
Maybe. And maybe the Tanaka figures I have it.
Look, you've got to get out of this country, Nick.
Well, there's still a law back home, Charlie. When somebody's murdered, somebody's got to hang for it. You'd better get over to the embassy. I'm going over to Tanaka's.
It is a pleasure to see you again, Mr. Kanda.
Yes, Baron Tanaka, and your company too, Colonel Tojo of the Imperial Army.
Mr. Condon, the story you printed yesterday, charging various things, is in itself unimportant. These rumors of a document which plans world conquest are ridiculous. But should the rumor be taken seriously by the wrong people, a blazing fire might be kindled which Japan would find costly to extinguish.
I see. You want my newspaper to put on a Fire Prevention Week campaign, is that it?
No, Mr. Condon. Within the past 24 hours, we have discovered a plot to smuggle this forged document out of Japan. A man named Oliver Miller, a former reporter on your newspaper, is involved.
We could recover the document from him by force, if we chose. We would prefer that you persuade him to return it to us.
It seems you haven't heard, Baron, nor your secret police, that Mr. Miller and his wife were murdered last night.
We read in the papers this morning about your escapade last night, Mr. Condon. In your incoherent condition, you spoke of this unpleasant fantasy. As we were concerned with the fate of Mr. Miller, even more than you, we immediately made inquiries. Here, read this. Radiogram from the captain of the Nagata Maru. A most trustworthy gentleman.
Yeah? In answer to your inquiry regarding Mr. and Mrs. Oliver Miller, American citizens aboard the Nagata Maru, they are alive and in perfect health.
Isn't it clear to you now?
It's very clear.
And if you send Mr. Miller a radiogram, I'm sure he will return the document to us through you. Everyone will be enormously relieved, and you will be greatly profited.
Yes, and we would all live to laugh at this strange hallucination you experienced last night.
Yeah? I guess you're right. You want this forgery returned?
Yes.
And you'd pay plenty for it. Okay, here's my price. When the United States Embassy has been notified that the murderer of Oliver Miller and his wife, I mean the real murderer, Oshima, not a sacrificial monkey, has been brought to trial and convicted, maybe then what you're looking for will turn up. Hey, Sprague. There's Oshima. He's been on my tail all day.
Yeah, they know you're leaving. You know, they might have plans for you like they did for Ollie.
Yeah? The embassy is sending me back to Washington. They're expressing an interest in my safe departure. Now, finish your drink, go back to the office. I want a story in tomorrow's newspaper saying I'm sailing 10 days on the President Wilson.
Why the publicity?
The police didn't get that document. It must have been the people who want to get it out of Japan. If they know I'm leaving, they may try to get in touch with me.
Okay, but don't look now. Here comes Costello and that beautiful dame who's been staring at you all night.
Beat it.
May we join you, Condon? Looks as if every table's taken.
Hello, Costello.
This is Nick Condon, Iris. Miss Iris Hilliard. Just arrived from Shanghai.
I'm going west.
You staying here at the hotel?
Yes.
Mr. Cassell must have had an ulterior motive in bringing you over to my table.
Really?
Sure. No man in his right mind would share your company, Miss Hilliard. How is Shanghai these days?
Oh, Shanghai is always gay.
Well, everyone but the Chinese.
You arrived last night?
Yes.
I was down to see some friends off last night on the Nagata Maru. You didn't arrive from Shanghai on it, did you?
Crushing my hand.
Well, sorry, but I wanted to take the glove off. There.
Satisfied?
I'm sorry. I was looking for a ruby on that finger.
And found a diamond. Don't you like diamonds, Mr. Condon?
Look here, Condon. You have a reputation for bad manners, but this is going too far.
Never mind. I wanted to meet Mr. Condon.
Telephone, Mr. Cassell.
Oh, thank you.
Now we can talk. I was asked by a friend to become acquainted with you. Very well acquainted. In Shanghai, we have a mutual friend, a very old man, Chan Poling.
Chan Poling? Yeah. Wonderful old man. Well, you could learn more from him in a few hours than 4 years in college.
Despite all his reverses, he still works for the Republic. as Sun Yat-sen wished it to be.
So he asked you to look me up, huh?
Yes.
And become very well acquainted.
Yes.
He certainly hasn't forgotten me.
Oh, no. He remembers you very well as you were then. He hoped you hadn't changed.
What does that mean?
First we'll become better acquainted. It was his desire.
His desire became mine 5 minutes ago. Let's figure the best way we could go about this.
About what?
Becoming better acquainted in the shortest possible time. I'm leaving in 10 days.
Oh.
Now, wait a minute. That's not so bad. Why don't we drink to them?
To them?
Yeah. To the 10 days that shook the world.
Squib Dental Cream is so brisk, so stimulating, so thorough in its aid to cleansing. It leaves you feeling fresh and assured. Use Squib Dental Cream morning and night. Use it before every engagement, whenever you want to look your best, feel your best, and make the best impression. For a breath of freshness in your smile, for better home dental care, remember the name Squib. Squib Dental Cream. You can taste, feel, and see the refreshing difference. Before continuing with part two of Blood on the Sun, we wish to thank William Cagney Productions for making this story available. And now the House of Squibb presents part two of Academy Award, starring John Garfield in Blood on the Sun.
I thought I was kidding when I said Iris and I were going to spend my last days shaking the world. But it was me that got shaken, and Iris did it. I fell for her with a bump that must have shaken Tojo's house.
Must you go? Don't you still have work to do here?
No.
I was just thinking.
I don't. We've talked a lot, but you still haven't said anything. What was the real reason Chang Pu Ling asked you to look me up?
When we're better acquainted.
Another thing, I asked you, and I told you I needed some dope on Cassell. You know him. What's he doing in Tokyo?
Maybe. When we're better acquainted.
3 days are gone and my boat sails in a week. We're getting nowhere too fast.
I don't agree.
Come here to me.
Yes. What is it?
It's time we got better acquainted.
Yes.
All right, Cassell, what's on your mind?
Look, Nick, I'm in trouble, but I got an idea that'll work for both of us. You're in a worse spot than I am. They're not going to let you go out of the country alive, but they don't suspect me. Let me take the plan to China.
Take what to China?
The Tanaka plan. You've got it, Condon. Tanaka's already made you an offer, but you're holding out for more. I know.
Come here, you rat. What else do you know?
Plenty. Didn't I frame the introduction between you and Tanaka's dame? Don't I know she hasn't had any luck because you've been playing cagey?
Who is Tanaka's dame?
Iris.
Okay, baby, start talking. You were on the Nagamaru that night.
What if I was?
You worked for Tanaka.
No.
That's a lie.
May I say something?
Plenty to the American ambassador. You're going to tell him how you killed Edith Miller.
I didn't.
Come on, you killed him. The names, Hoshima and who else? Who? Before I make a mess here.
What? What is your price for the document?
There isn't enough money in Japan to buy that document.
So what are you risking your life for? To protect people in China and America you don't even know? To save humanity?
Come on, let's get to the embassy.
Are you sure? You'd risk your life to protect the Tanaka plan? If you had it?
Don't worry, I have it.
No, you haven't, Nick. I have.
You?
I got it from behind the Emperor's picture when the police left.
So this is it, huh?
Yes, this is it. Memorial presented to His Imperial Majesty by Premier Tanaka, outlining the positive policy of Japan. This is a plan for world conquest beginning with China. This must be gotten to the League of Nations at Geneva.
Well, how did you get mixed up in all this?
It's my work.
Big payoff, huh?
Yes. Free China.
Free China, huh?
That's why I had to be so careful, Nick, before telling you. I had to be sure how you felt about it.
And about you.
Nick. Nick, you must go. And not see me again until I call you. Promise?
Iris, I'll promise anything. Our lives are at stake now.
Nick, here's the man for the trunks.
Okay, Charlie.
Four pieces. You count checks, please.
Okay, I believe you.
Sorry, you must count.
Oh, sure. Hey, wait a minute.
Something's phony. He's gone.
Look, there's another paper in among those checks from Iris.
Where is she?
It says wharf at foot of Herbota Street. Iris.
Where's she been?
Hiding out, I guess. Tanaka's men took down our last conversation on a dictaphone. That's why the embassy is hustling me aboard an American ship, or was.
What do you mean, was?
Because I'm nuts about Iris. I'm nuts about America, China, and the whole free world. And I'm not letting any of them down. Tell the embassy Nick Condon saw his duty and he done it. Skip the gutter, Charlie, and burn little white papers for me, will you? They were waiting for me when I came out. Oshima and his guerrillas. But I gave them the slip somehow. And I eased my old jalopy down near the wharves. All I could see was a colony of houseboats and junks. An old woman came out of the dark, took my hand, and led me up a ladder across dirty decks, then suddenly down into a stinking hole of a fishing smack. Right up in there.
Nick, in here.
Almost a week and not a word. Now, 2 hours before I leave, you send for me.
I couldn't, Nick. They were following me. Oh, don't be angry. It's been unbelievably difficult.
You could have found some way to let me know.
No, I couldn't.
Okay, now listen. I was followed when I left the house. I shook them off, but there isn't any spare time. You give me those papers for the League.
Here they are. The fishing boats leave in a few minutes on the changing tide. One of them will take me out into the bay to a freighter.
To Shanghai?
Yes.
Well, I guess this is goodbye. It's tough trying to find words.
Don't cry, Nick. I know what's been troubling you. What I've been. What I am.
I never ask any questions. I never even thought of them.
Didn't you, Nick? I'll always remember that.
What are you talking about? If a person is on the level and...
See, that's it, Nick. No one has ever treated me as a person. Just wasn't time in my work for such nice. Tomorrow, when China's free, and the work is done...
Did I ever say you're quite a dame?
No, you didn't.
I'll tell you all about it someday. Maybe in Shanghai.
But I don't want to say goodbye, Nick. Not ever.
Oshima and the police. Police everywhere. Quick, back door, please.
Yes. Nick, you can't possibly get through to the embassy now.
No. Here, take these. Go ahead, get moving.
No, not without you, Nick.
Go on, I said. It's
no.
Your job to get to the League now.
No.
Are you crazy? They'll be here in a minute. I can hold them long enough to get... Well, until you get to the fishing boat and get a good start. Now, go on. You take it along,
no,
will you?
No, Nick.
Go on.
Nick.
Now, come on, Oshima.
Son, I know you are in there.
You do? Come and get me, Oshima.
Oh, good. But the woman will not escape. There goes her boat, and my patrol is stinging it. Boat is surrounded.
You have no chance, Condon-san. But I've waited long for this pleasure.
What's on your small mind?
You have shown great mastery at judo with my policeman. Perhaps you will honor me with a demonstration.
It would be a pleasure.
Good. We are in no hurry to get to police headquarters, are we, Condon-san? They would not care to have me bring you in alive. Would be most embarrassing. So, as you say, we must play now for keeps.
Shut up and move in.
You are ready?
Yeah. Ready.
I must have been lucky, Condon-san, to throw you so easily.
Don't let it go to your head. Let's try it again, fat boy. Oshima, you're pretty good.
I am honored.
Can you get up? It will take one more fall, I think, to kill you. I shall make it a good one.
Okay. Okay, I'm getting up.
You are not a very pretty sight, Mr. Condon. But then, white men are not match for yellow men.
Oh, no? Come on, Monkey Face. This time we'll try it my way. How do you like them potatoes, Bud? The old one, too. That's the way we used to do it in Hell's Kitchen. Now get up.
Very good. You must show me that trick again.
Come on in and take another lesson, huh? This is my Sunday one coming up. An old roundhouse, Oshima. This is going to look good on you. That's it, Oshima. But I can't let you lay there like that, reaching for your gun.
Hold it, Bud. I'll take it. Now, rat face, this gives me the greatest pleasure.
Well, this is it, I guess. Three more shots left.
Condon, Mr. Condon, this way.
What?
Hurry, into the boat this way.
Yeah.
We come back for you. Good fight, Condon, son. Korean like me must turn American way. Into boat, please.
Yeah.
Nick, are you all right?
I guess so. Where are we?
Safe.
But I thought you were on your way.
So did Oshima's men. They followed and sank the wrong boat.
And why did you come back?
I don't like goodbyes. And besides, I love you, Nick.
Oh, baby. Baby, up to now it's been a wonderful war.
Look, Nick. That way lies China. And in the blue haze which conceals her shores, there is a good omen for her future.
It may take years and years, Iris.
I can be patient. I know how to wait. Can you?
Together we can do anything. We'll wait and work, you and I, until the job is done. The breeze is quickening, and it is fair for China beyond the haze.
Stars who must keep radiantly alive through a long day before the cameras have learned to seize even the slightest opportunity for quick refreshment. You have such an opportunity in the simple act of brushing your teeth when you brush them with refreshing Squibb Dental Cream. For Squibb Dental Cream is quick refreshment in a tube. You see, in making Squibb Dental Cream, the House of Squibb has done more than provide you with a completely safe and trustworthy dentifrice. It has also created one of the pleasantest, most exhilarating of all dentifrices. When you first taste the sparkling, minty flavor of Squibb Dental Cream, you get a hint of its quick refreshment. Then, as you brush, the brisk, tingling action wakes up your mouth, makes it feel fresh and young and clean. That's how Squibb Dental Cream helps you to face your own daily audience with new poise and assurance. You've given your own charm the protection it deserves, the protection of pure, fragrant, refreshing Squibb Dental Cream. So ask tomorrow for Squibb Dental Cream. Taste, feel, and see the refreshing difference. Next Wednesday, another great picture. The House of Squibb will present Academy Award with Charles Coburn and Virginia Mayo in The Devil and Miss Jones. John Garfield is soon to be seen in the Warner Brothers production Nobody Lives Forever. This is Hugh Brundage bidding you goodnight until next Wednesday at the same time, when you're invited to listen again to Academy Award presented by the House of Squibb, a name you can trust. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System. National Broadcasting Company presents, transcribed, Sir Laurence Olivier in Theater Royal.
This is Laurence Olivier. During the past few weeks, I've had the pleasure of introducing in this series a number of good friends of the theater. Whilst the new stage play in which my wife and I are appearing was touring prior to its London presentation. Last week, we opened the season in the West End of London, and that is why it gives me a special pleasure today to appear for the first time in the play which I present. I shall each week be choosing different stories. Today's play is from the pen of Honoré de Balzac, and I'm going to play the role of Hippolyte Schinner, a young artist. The place is Paris. The time, many years ago. The title is The Purse. Yes, I am an artist. And so far as patronage and the opinion of the critics goes, I suppose you would call me a successful artist. But at the time, I had still a very long way to go, though at least I had begun to sell my pictures. I had just moved into a new studio, the attic of a block of apartments in the Rue de Surène, nearly opposite to the Madeleine. And I was hard at work on the picture which was to be hung that year at the Paris Salon. The subject of the picture was Esther before Ahasuerus. And you may remember that the canvas was a large one, some 8 feet high by 12. That was why I was standing on the ladders, finishing the top right-hand corner.
My dear man, the whole conception is magnificent.
You think so? Good. I feel rather pleased with it myself.
Worthy of Titian himself in his best period.
I'd sooner you said Tintoretto.
Very well, then. Worthy of Tintoretto.
It's large enough to be by him as well. Well, at least it's the largest I've done. I had to buy these ladders before I could start it.
Well, you might have got some better ones while you were at it. They don't look very safe to me.
Oh, they're safe enough, so long as I don't forget what I am and take a step backwards to get a look at what I'm doing, as I nearly did yesterday.
Oh, well, I must be going back to my pan and sittings. We'll see you at the Cheval Rouge next week. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Just a little bit more of this sepia to balance the glow of the lamp. That's better. And now heighten the gleam on that helmet here. Yes, I think that should be just about right. Wait a minute. Let me see what it... Ah!
He's moving his arm. Let him bathe his head again, my dear. A little more of the heart toy.
Where am I? What happened?
Everything's all right, Mr. You fell and hit your head in the stool there.
I fell? Oh, yes. Yes, it's coming back to me now. I was painting on the ladder. I must have fallen off. Oh, step back. Yes, that was it. Just as Suchet said.
Yes, now, please rest. You might have hurt yourself very badly. Can you move your arms and legs, Monsieur? You're not hurt anywhere else?
No, I think I'm quite all right. Apart
from
my head, is it a my shoulder, they're bruised, I think. But how did you come to be here?
We live in the apartment below. We heard a crash and we thought we heard a groan. We came up to see if someone had an accident and found the key in the door, so we came in and found you, Monsieur.
Very kind, Mademoiselle, and you, Madame.
You are lucky to be no more badly hurt, Monsieur. I think you must have broken your fall on the lay figure there. Now, tomorrow you must put on blisters or apply leeches and drink a few cups of some restorative. And you must lie down and rest. If you feel any pain by the morning, we will fetch a surgeon.
Ah, thank you, madame, but I really feel much better. I will lie down and rest for a few minutes. Then I shall be quite all right again.
We will leave you then. Au revoir, monsieur.
Au revoir, madame. Mademoiselle.
Au revoir, monsieur. Come, Adelaide.
Yes, mamma.
The girl's name was Adelaide, a pretty girl, about 20, with the look of one of Proudhon's nymphs.
The look of... that must have been Mademoiselle Le Seigneur and her mother, monsieur. They lived here now for about 4 years. between you and me, we can't make them out at all.
But why, how do you mean?
We can't make out what the ladies do. They have an old charwoman comes to help them in the morning, but she's quite deaf and doesn't talk any more than a stone wall. In the evening, two or three gentlemen come to call.
Gentlemen? Young gentlemen?
No, monsieur. Old gentlemen. One of them keeps a carriage and servants, and people do say that he's got 60,000 francs a year. Well, they spend the whole evening here and often stay very late.
Oh, I see.
The ladies are very quiet tenants, like you, monsieur, and economical. They live on nothing. As soon as they get a letter, they pay their rent. It's queer, monsieur, but the mother takes the daughter out for a walk in the Tuileries every morning. Mademoiselle is very pretty, you may have noticed, monsieur, and often young gentlemen follow her home. But she has the door shut in their faces, and she's right, too. The landlord would never allow anyone to...
No, well, thank you. That'll be all. Thank you very
much. Yes, monsieur.
Good evening, mademoiselle.
Good evening, monsieur. Won't you come in? Mama, it is the gentleman from upstairs.
Thank you. I called to say that I was fully recovered and to thank you for your kindness yesterday.
We are very happy to see you, monsieur.
Mademoiselle had not happened to hear me fall, I might not have been here now. That is to say, I should certainly not have been so well cared for, and I might never have known the pleasure.
Mama, hadn't I better put some more sticks in the fire?
Of course, child. Please sit down, monsieur.
Thank you.
We are very happy to make your acquaintance, even if it took an accident to bring us together.
So began the friendship, which was to bring me so much happiness and so much heartache. The room in which I found myself was tastefully furnished, but bore all the evidence of poverty that is doing its best to pass for simplicity. In my early struggles, I had known such poverty myself, and all the little deceptions in which it seeks to hide. As for the old lady and her daughter, they had an air of gentility which spoke of better days. I longed to know them better and to win the right to friendship and esteem. At last, I thought that I'd found the means, for over the fireplace was a portrait. It was a solid daub of a painting, the portrait of a man in uniform.
Yes, monsieur, that is my husband, the Baron Le Seigneur de Rouville. As you see, he was a captain in the Navy. He died in battle at Batavia, fighting a British frigate. When I returned to France, Bonaparte was not yet in power, and I was refused a pension. Lately, when I applied for one again, the minister told me harshly that I had nothing to hope of the restoration either. His Excellency refused my application under some law of forfeiture. I had made the attempt only because some friends urged me to it, and for the sake of my daughter.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, madame. But I see that the painting is already fading. Before long, the colors will quite have gone. I should be honored if you would allow me to copy the painting for you on canvas.
Oh, you are very kind, monsieur. But I am sure you must be far too busy with your other work.
Please, madame, I should enjoy the work as a welcome change for what I'm engaged on at the moment.
Oh, as you wish, monsieur. The door, Adelaide. It must be the court. Will you let him in?
Yes, mamma. Excuse me, monsieur.
I will get the cards ready, if monsieur will help me.
I had already noticed the card table by the wall, and had wondered to see it there, as also the pack of cards that was obviously so often used, also the scoring pad and the counters. Now there was the sudden gleam in the old lady's eyes, the eagerness with which she prepared to receive her guests, and the voices of the guests themselves. Suddenly I was filled with a jealous suspicion. Who were these guests who sounded so familiar with the daughter out there in the anteroom? For that matter, who was the old lady who called herself a baroness and who lives here in such an unlikely setting? And were the cards and the counters there for more than a friendly game of piquet? Were they perhaps the means by which the old lady made her living?
Bye, Monsieur Le Comte. You are too gallant. Now, let me present Monsieur Hippolyte Schinner. He is a neighbor and a painter.
I am honored, Monsieur.
Thank you, sir.
And the Chevalier de Halga.
Servant. Your servant.
Well, Comte, are we ready for our little game?
Of course, Madame. And tonight I hope to be revenged for my losses of the last few weeks.
It is all in the luck of the game. Now draw up your chairs, gentlemen. Oh, shall I deal?
Please. So you are a painter, monsieur.
Yes, the painter who will soon be very famous. He's going to do us a new portrait of my father. A better copy of the one that was done in India.
Ah, he's very kind, I'm sure.
Oh, it'll be a pleasure. The ladies have been very kind to me, and I'm happy to have the chance of repaying them.
Indeed. It's my turn to discard, madame.
Of course. Have you aces?
Yes, madame. Mark one.
Don't you want me to advise you, Monsieur Le Comte? You know how carelessly you play.
No, my dear. Stay over there where I can see you. It'll double my losses to be deprived of those bright eyes.
You were better advised to keep your mind on the game, my friend.
I shall need better luck in the hands I'm dealt, madame. I can do little enough with this one. Look. Yes, here, a quick.
As the game wore on, I became more and more suspicious. Or was it merely that I was jealous of the familiarity with which the old gentleman played while his friend stood behind him, watching every turn of the game, and smiling in his turn at the girl who sat beside her mother? At last, the game came to an end.
Oh, well, I've lost again, I see. Deuce, take it. Another 40 francs, madame. I really am no match for you.
Oh, it is the luck of the game, my friend.
No, 11 o'clock already. We must be going. Come, Duelga.
I must be going, madame. I had no idea it was so late. Good night, Monsieur Le Comte.
Good night.
Good night, Monsieur.
Good night. Good night.
All night long I lay awake, thinking over the events of the evening. What could one make of them? What could one make of the old lady, the Baroness? Her face was like the apartment where she lived. And it was just as hard to know whether the poverty of the latter covered hidden vices or honest simplicity. Well, I was a simple enough young man myself, and a young man fallen hopelessly in love. Whatever the truth might be, no matter what part in her life the old Comte might happen to play, Adelaide had enslaved me. The very next morning, I knocked at their door again. Morning, mademoiselle.
Good morning, monsieur.
Excuse me, I called to collect the portrait of your father.
Oh, of course. Won't you come in? I'm afraid Mama is out for work.
Perhaps I'm disturbing you.
Oh, no, please. Please do sit down. It is very kind of you to offer to paint again for us. I'm afraid it was never a very good likeness.
Well, you must help me to make the likeness more true, mademoiselle. May I help you?
Oh, please, monsieur. I'm not quite sure.
Let me stand on this chair. I'll take good care of it. Please tell the Baroness that it will be quite safe in my studio.
Thank you, monsieur. You are very kind.
It's a great pleasure, mademoiselle. I will return it soon.
Mama will be sorry to meet you.
I will call and pay my respects, mademoiselle, this evening.
She will be very happy to see you again.
And will you do something for me, mademoiselle? Something more?
Oh, but of course, monsieur, if I can.
Please, will you teach me to play piquet? I've never played cards in my life.
But of course, monsieur. It will be a pleasure. Then you too can play with Mama.
In a moment we continue Theatre Royal with Sir Laurence Olivier. After taking just a moment to remind you to hear tonight's family drama series, The Marriage, starring that brilliant team Hume Cronin and Jessica Tandy as the delightful Marriott. Oh, and tonight Emily Marriott considers membership in a high school sorority, while her parents try to conceal their disapproval. Well, we'd like to preview the fine listening entertainment tomorrow on NBC. For tomorrow, celebrated maestro Arturo Toscanini returns to conduct the world-famous NBC Symphony in a program of Brahms and Richard Strauss. Later Sunday, there's top drama in store, when that delightful husband-wife acting team Lily Palmer and Rex Harrison share the spotlight in the fast-paced comedy 20th Century on NBC Star Playhouse. And then for an imaginative tale of a pre-World War II era, join the make-believe drama Stroke of Fate. Hear what might have happened if the French had expelled Hitler from the Rhineland when the dictator entered the area in 1936. Hear how this one stroke of fate might have altered the course of the entire world. And remember to hear the latest two-hour edition of Weekend, your Sunday newspaper of the air. It's something new in radio journalism, when the nation's top commentators and personalities combine their talents to keep you posted on everything from cover stories to home and fashion features. Such notables as Elmo Roper, Merrill Muller, and Earl Godwin bring you all the local and world news.
And you'll hear John Mason Brown with reports on the theater. Also, Tex and Jinx McCrary with feature items. That's Weekend, this Sunday on NBC. And for high adventure on the Western Plains, join screen favorite Jimmy Stewart as slow-talking, fast-shooting Britt Ponsett, who sets out to restore law and order to a peaceful Western Valley on Six Shooter. And later Sunday, you'll enjoy your genial MC, Jimmy Wallington, as he interviews popular screen favorites on his Ask Hollywood show. Hear personal answers to your questions about Filmland's top stars. So remember, for the tops in radio entertainment, stay tuned to NBC. And now we continue Theater Royal with Sir Laurence Olivier.
There was no doubt about one thing. I had fallen desperately in love with Adelaide. And I had reason to believe that she was not altogether indifferent to me. Her eyes became more tender and our glances more intimate each time we met. And we now met every evening in the presence of our mother over a game of cards. But it was more than the evenings which we shared. Every day as I moved about my studio, I thought of her in the room below and knew that she must be thinking of me. For never before had I worked so easily or so noisily. And at last the morning came when I could call upon her at an hour when I knew her mother would be out. Good morning, mademoiselle.
Good morning, monsieur.
I've finished my copy of your father's portrait. May I show it to you?
But of course, monsieur, please, come. I'm afraid mamma is taking her walk, but...
Before I hang it, you must tell me whether it is a good likeness or not. Where I've strayed from the original. I've always tried to make it resemble you.
It is a wonderful painting, monsieur. And from what I can remember of Papa, a better likeness than the other.
Thank you, mademoiselle.
It will make my mother very happy.
Your mother only?
As for me, I am already too happy, monsieur.
I only wish it were in my power.
Monsieur, I think I can hear my mother coming. Shall we see you again this evening so that she may thank you?
Well, of course, mademoiselle. As always. As always. Every evening I called at their apartment, and every evening the comedy was repeated. Cards were called for, the card table was set up, and the inevitable game of piquet began. Sometimes it was I who played with the Baroness, sometimes it was Monsieur le Comte, for he was no less regular in his attendance upon her than I was. But whoever it was that played with her, the Baroness continued to win, some 20 francs a night.
I fear you are still too new to the game, monsieur. Your luck will improve as you go more comfortable.
I'm afraid I'm still far better at filling a canvas, madame.
Ah, yes. Monsieur Schoener was kind enough to paint me that copy of an old portrait of my late husband, Comte.
Indeed.
You knew him well. Isn't it a wonderful likeness?
Marvelous, madame. I'd gladly give 500 pistoles for a portrait as like myself as that's like Will. 500 pistoles.
If I were a portrait painter, monsieur le Comte, I should not have painted that copy. I don't accept such commission.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Madame, shall we go on?
Very well. Six kings.
Six kings it is. I think my luck may be rather better than our young friend here.
Once again, my jealousy made me suspicious. Never had the old lady played more eagerly or shown more desire to win. Was she hoping to pay some debt or was she driven by some necessity? The Count seemed far too worldly wise to let her win his money for nothing. What interest brought him to her apartment at all? Might it not be Adelaide? And were not his familiarities to her his right, perhaps? Was she herself deceiving me? I watched him with all the jealous hatred of a man who almost believed himself deceived.
Now, what did I tell you, Monsieur le Comte? You should have let me advise you. Now you've lost again. 10 and 3 and 1 for the last trick. 10 for the most and 30 for capote. 38 francs, my friend. A bad evening for you, after all.
Unlucky at cards, they say. One day I shall claim my revenge. Come, du Algar, we must be going. You too, sir, I should imagine. Or do you artists keep later hours than ordinary
folks? We have much in common, I think, sir. Good night, mademoiselle.
Good night.
Good night, madame. But even before I had climbed the stairs to my studio, I remembered it. My purse. Excuse me for disturbing you, mademoiselle. I'm afraid I forgot my purse.
Your purse, monsieur? Are you sure?
Yes, I remember I left it on the card table. It must still be there.
Oh, but no, monsieur.
But I could have sworn.
Well, as you see, monsieur, it is not there. Monsieur must have made a mistake, I think.
Yes. Yes, I must have made a mistake. I must have left it somewhere else. Good night, mademoiselle. Madame, I'm sorry to have disturbed you. My purse had been stolen. For 15 louis d'or and a few odd francs. The robbery had been so flagrant and then so impudently denied that I could no longer have any doubts as to the real character of my neighbors. I stood outside their door on the stairs, my legs trembling, my head swimming, my mind crowded with accusing thoughts, each small enough in itself, but all adding up to a horrible certainty. Adelaide, the girl I had come to love, was a thief. I only longed to believe that she was nothing worse.
My dear fellow, perhaps you never took the purse there with you at all.
Of course I took it with me. How else could I have paid what I lost?
Well, then, perhaps you'd knocked it off the table when you got out to leave, and, well, maybe it had fallen under your chair.
It was on the table. I'm quite sure about that. No, they picked it up and hid it as soon as I left the room. I'm certain of it. Mm. The look on their faces, both of them, when I went back to inquire for it. They knew it was there, where they'd hidden it.
Well, there it is, then. The girl's what you said she was.
Yes, and I still love her. I shall always love her.
Oh, come, after all, dear boy.
I shall always love her. After all, who am I to judge? What do I know about the reason they had for stealing it? Maybe they were desperate. Maybe they were in debt and had to repay it, or something terrible. I don't know. After all, I've been poor myself. I know what it means and what it can do to you when you're at your wit's end.
Well, I suppose that's true enough. But who are they anyway, she and her mother? Do I know them? Do they live around here?
They live in the room below us. The mother said that she's the Baroness, and the daughter, Adelaide.
But good heavens, yes, of course. The old Baroness and her pretty daughter. But, my dear fellow, they're quite notorious. Well, you don't really believe she's a Baroness, do you?
I don't know. She seems to be.
But living on a fourth floor? Hardly, you know. Why, we see her every day in the Tuileries. That face of hers and the way she carries herself should have told you. But surely you knew what she was from, well, from the way she carries her bag.
I don't know. After all...
As for the girl, we're all after her. You know, she goes each morning to the Assumption, don't you?
Well...
Stop it, Suchet. But we all know her. Why, Jacques follows her home every day. If it wasn't for that old dragon of a concierge you've got...
Well, you can't suggest anything to me about her that I haven't already imagined myself. What do you think I lie awake all night thinking about?
There you are, then.
I've asked myself 100 times, what brings the old Comte there every evening? A man worth 80,000 francs a year. Why does he lose 20 or 30 francs a night to a mother?
Why? Well, I should have thought that was only too obvious, dear boy.
I still can't quite believe it. Not of her. If only you'd seen her, the frankness in her eyes, the innocence, the sweetness, the utter goodness in her.
When she stole your purse?
No, that was the only time I've seen her look somehow ill at ease.
I'm not surprised at that.
Yet even so, I can't really believe it of her. I almost wish I could. Then perhaps it wouldn't hurt me so much.
Well, there's none so blind.
Never mind what she is. I love her in spite of everything. Aren't I in a position to help her? Why should I leave her when she needs me most of all? To be kind to someone we love, is there anything wrong in that? Is there anything to be ashamed of? Isn't it good to know that we love so much we can still be in love when others would have ceased to love? Oh, Adelaide. Adelaide. I've tried to forget you. For a week I've stayed away from you. I can't stay away anymore. I can't. Good evening, mademoiselle.
Good evening, monsieur. I thought it...
But you look so pale and thin. Have you been ill?
Oh, no, monsieur, thank you. Won't you come in? Mama, it's Monsieur Gilles.
Come in, monsieur. You are quite a stranger. But then I dare say you have been working too hard. You look so...
I have been very busy, madame.
I'm afraid that must be our fault, monsieur. Copying our portrait must have taken up too much of your time, and you have had to catch up with your real work.
I've been busy, yes, but I've also been very upset.
Did you think that was no concern of ours?
Well, forgive me, madame. There are things we suffer that we cannot tell anyone about, not even those we've known for a long time.
Friendship cannot be measured by time. I'm afraid Adelaide also has been busy.
Mademoiselle looks unwell. I told her so.
Oh, not really. She insisted on sitting up 2 or 3 nights to finish a piece of work she was doing. She wouldn't listen to me when I told her that a day or two, more or less, would make no difference.
But, mademoiselle, you should take more care of yourself. It's foolish.
It
was nothing, monsieur. Perhaps I was too anxious. Well, she will recover. Would you care for another game of cards, monsieur? Perhaps you have come for your revenge.
Of course, madame. Let me fetch the table. I see the cards are ready.
Have you kings, monsieur?
Mark two, madame. You're still too good for me, madame. I see I've lost again. 5 francs.
Where is your purse, monsieur?
But my purse, mademoiselle?
Well, the new purse that I made for you. Your old one was so frayed. You did leave it on the table that night.
But what exquisite embroidery.
I think you will find that your money is safely inside it.
Oh, mademoiselle, how can I ever...
I'm afraid I had to deceive you just a little. But it was the only way I could repay your kindness to us for the portrait. Ah, that must be the coat. Will you let him in, my dear?
Yes, Mama. Oh, perhaps Monsieur would...
Yes, of course. Excuse me, madame.
Really? What can you think? I think the Comte has something he wishes to tell Monsieur Chimier in private.
Oh.
You mean a commission? I don't know, Mama. Perhaps.
Monsieur.
Good evening.
The ladies expect you. May I help you with your coat?
Oh, thank you, monsieur.
It's not quite so cold tonight, I think.
No, not quite so cold, no. May I take you into my confidence over a little matter, monsieur? I see you're now an accepted member of my old friend's family.
Very kind, sir.
It's rather difficult to know just how to put it, but I think you may be wondering why I come here so often and lose quite so regularly at cards to this dear lady.
Really, sir, I assure you...
The fact is, she's the widow of a very good friend of mine who died honorably for his country. For some reason, his country has seen fit to treat his widow shamefully, to leave her virtually starving. The Baroness is a proud woman. She's never complained of her treatment, and she's absolutely refused all offers of assistance from those who revere her husband's memory. There's only the one way that I know to help her, without her realizing that I'm doing so. Do I make myself clear?
Monsieur le Comte, you've made yourself so clear that I... Oh... Oh, what a fool I've been.
We are all fools, monsieur, at times. Shall we join the ladies?
This is Laurence Olivier again. I should like to express my thanks to the members of the cast, who included Anne Goodrum in the role of Adelaide, Thea Wells as La Baronne, her mother, Keith Pyatt as the Count, together with Robert Rietti, and Stephen Jack. Next week, I look forward once again to the pleasure of your company, when I shall introduce and appear in another play. Until then, au revoir, and thank you.
Sir Laurence Olivier starred in today's transcribed program. The script was by Derek Patmore. The music was under the direction of Sidney Torch. Theatre Royal is an NBC presentation produced and directed by Harry Allen Towers.
Tonight, hear Hollywood Story on the NBC Radio Network.